sit down. As I have studied this passage this week, I have been very excited. Jam says, keep cool. There is no need to shout. Please, if I start shouting, please tell me to quieten down. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you again for Holy Scripture. Thank you that we can turn to it and hear what you and the Lord Jesus said so many years ago. We can read these accounts of your doings. And so, Lord, as we turn to these words now, Lord, may we be excited about your love and your truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Earlier this week, I asked somebody, if I mention the word sheep, what do you think of? And he answered, meat. What do you think of if I ask the same question? Perhaps you think stupid animals. If we asked the average UK city dweller, what do you think of if I mention the words shepherd and sheep? What would they say? Well, from the TV portrayal of such, for example, on the recent Countryfile programmes, the answer would probably be either a very large flock of animals, 300 or so, a sheepdog, and a shepherd on a quad bike, or a group of about 6 sheep being taken round an obstacle course by a sheepdog controlled by the whistle of a shepherd. In our lead up to Christmas, the 4 Sundays in Advent in the church calendar, we're looking at 4 of Christ's I am statements. Now, last week with Heather leading us, we looked at the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And he who looks to me has eternal life and will be raised up at the last day. And she warned us against junk foods. Now, tonight's passage is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. And please turn to it, page 1076. Please turn to it, our Bibles, page 1076, the portion which John read to us. Chapter 10 begins with the words, I tell you the truth. Well, I tell you the truth means that is how it really is. These verses are Christ speaking, and speaking in parables, figures of speech, as he mentions in verse 6. Verses 1 to 10 focuses on I am the gate, or more familiar to most of us, it's only the NIV which has I am the gate. Most versions have I am the door. Our portion tonight, chapter 10, verses 11 to 21, focuses on Christ's words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we have those exact words repeated. First of all, in verse 11 and verse 14. Now, our understanding of shepherds and sheep today, from my introduction, has changed considerably from the understanding of shepherds and sheep when Christ spoke those words. So, under the theme of the wonder, uniqueness, and supremacy of Christ, we shall spend these next few minutes summarizing the passage. So, first of all, verses 11 to 13. Christ speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. A shepherd does three main things. He cares for the sheep. He feeds the sheep, and he protects the sheep. And in these three verses, Christ is contrasting the good shepherd himself with the hired hands. I am the good shepherd. The word good means ideal. Proper, trustworthy, the one to follow. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we have Christ's words. No one is good except God alone. So the shepherd, the one who cares for and feeds and protects, and the good shepherd, the ideal, proper, trustworthy one. Now, the hired hands, mentioned in verses 12 and 13, the hired hand does not own the sheep, and he runs away in face of danger and cares nothing for the sheep. In the context, Christ is referring to the religious leadership of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. But sadly, in our day, there are their modern equivalents. Christ, as the good shepherd, cares and protects the sheep to the extent of laying down his life for the sheep. He did this as he was crucified at Calvary. And that's why I had that Mark 15 reading. Christian believers are like sheep, needing care, protection, and feeding. In particular, we need protection on the day of judgment, when each human being is judged by God, our Maker. But forgiveness of sin is available to us through Christ's laying down his life on that first Good Friday. Now, second, verses 14 and 15a. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Christ is speaking of knowing his own sheep by name. That's in verse 3. Knowing somebody and their name brings in the idea of having a relationship. If we have a relationship, we talk to each other. We listen to each other. At times we walk together. The Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for his sheep, knows each of his sheep. What an amazing and unique person he is. Laying down his life for the sins of the world, and yet knowing each believer. Now, third, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Christ is talking of other sheep. I must bring them. He is welcoming to all kinds, both Jews and Gentiles. Notice he says, I must bring them. He is intent on bringing them, not casual. And then he says, they too will listen. And this is how others come to him. They listen to his word and take action on it. And what is the outcome? There shall be one flock and one shepherd. This unique Lord Jesus Christ, this supreme Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. He knows each of his sheep by name. And he gathers others to become one flock and one shepherd. And then next, verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus speaking, I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. And I'm repeating myself, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. What a unique person Christ is. Here we see him in complete control. And we see this particularly in the Mark reading. I think you can leave aside the John pages now and turn to page 1023, the Mark reading. Mark 15, 22 to 33. Page 1023, Mark 15, 22 to 32. Now, as we read these verses, it could seem that he was being martyred, completely overtaken by evil forces. Several times we get the word, he was crucified. Twice we get the word, insulted by passers-by and even by one of the thieves crucified with him. In verse 24, we see him being stripped naked and his clothes divided by lot. It would seem on that first Good Friday that evil had won. But in fact, Christ was in complete control. Scripture was being fulfilled. The Old Testament had talked about the casting of lots for his clothes. Verse 27 echoes Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. The notice which was written about him was true. He was the king of the Jews. He was mocked. He saved others, but can't save himself. Well, it was exactly by not saving himself that others, including us who believe, are saved. Christ's death was a voluntary death, leading to a victorious resurrection. Seeming defeat became total victory. He was in complete control. What a comfort that is to you and me. You get older, you think things are out of control. We look at our nation and we think things are out of control. We look at the world and climate change and all the rest of it, and we think things are out of control. Christ is in complete control. And then finally, in verses 19 to 21, and I only need read verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. And it's just the same today. At the message of Christ, humanity is divided. And those who believe, as I've said before, are regarded as dull, stupid, and eccentric. That's how we're regarded. What a unique, supreme person Christ is as the Good Shepherd. Caring, feeding, and protecting his sheep. Knowing them by name, intent on bringing insiders in, and in complete control of situations that seem out of hand. What a comfort all these things are to those who believe. So how does this apply to us today? Let us all realize and wonder and worship at the uniqueness and supremacy of Christ. And we shall do this as we develop a relationship with him, listening to him in Scripture, and talking to him in prayer. We shall become more excited about him as we join in bringing others in and as we take note of the God-only activities that he does. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. Let us sing our final hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, 533.